WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. It's 7 a.m. here in New York City. Coming up next, What's Going On with Felipe Luciano.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and peace here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, family. How are you? Felipe Luciano here with you on WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial with the show What's Going On. Today we're going to be talking about the incredible victory of Raphael Warnock in Atlanta in that he won the senatorial seat. Now, understand how important this is. Last year, the senator from Arizona, Semina, and the senator from West Virginia, Manchin, blocked everything that the president wanted to do, everything that Biden wanted to do. Now they're going to be able to get past him because they have 51. So it means they don't have to lock him up. So it's wonderful. They can't stalemate. They can't stopgap the legislation that needs to come in. What does it mean? More legislation, more progressive legislation, hopefully. What's amazing about and the Supreme the judicial appointments, because they stopped a lot of this. This is the first black senator in Georgia history to win this office. We should feel very proud. By the way, this is one of the most expensive Senate races in the United States. And it's been a total loss for Chump Trump, who thought he was a Republican kingmaker, who lost Senate races in Nevada, Arizona, and New Hampshire. He also lost some gubernatorial candidates in Arizona. He lost gubernatorial, the ones he approved of, in Arizona, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So 51 votes is a wonderful victory for those of us who were rooting. I didn't sleep. I mean, I was just hoping that we could do this because I'm telling you the specter, I'm going to say it out. The specter of fascism is haunting this country, especially now that this fool says that he wants to get rid of the Constitution. Imagine this. He wants to get rid of the Constitution. He wants to come back into office. The reason he's running is so he doesn't get indicted, because they got so much stuff. They have so much stuff against this guy. He's not going to pay a lot of money, and he may not go to jail, but Jesus, I don't know how he's going to survive his presidency with all of this mud on him. All right, it's Felipe Luciano. We're here until 8 o'clock. I've got a wonderful guest for you to talk about this wonderful victory in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's go to news, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It is my honor to utter the four most powerful words ever spoken in a democracy. The people have spoken.
Senator Raphael Warnock has been reelected in a runoff, defeating his Republican opponent Herschel Walker and giving Democrats a 51-seat majority in the Senate. Democrats will no longer have to negotiate a power agreement with Republicans over the next 2 years. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments Wednesday in Moore v. Harper over a redrawn congressional district map by the North Carolina legislature. At its core, the case is focused on a widely discredited legal doctrine known as the independent state legislature theory, which would allow legislatures to set district boundaries without the possibility of review by state courts. Justice Alina Kagan says it would allow legislatures to engage in extreme gerrymandering.
I think what might strike a person is that this is a proposal that gets rid of the normal checks and balances on the way big governmental decisions are made in this country. And you might think that it gets rid of all those checks and balances at exactly the time when they are needed most.
Dr. Roy Guerrero, a Texas pediatrician who treated victims of the Uvalde school shooting earlier this year, was joined Wednesday at the Capitol by Senators Dick Durbin and Richard Blumenthal and members of the March 4th coalition to call for the Senate to vote on banning assault-style weapons during the lame duck session.
We are bleeding out and you are not there. You're sitting in your office filling out paperwork so you can get paid. And my oath as a doctor means I signed up to save lives. I do my job and I guess out. I am here to please do yours.
Senator Durbin said in his eyes, amid a rush to pass dozens of bills as the session ends, there is no more important issue. The House has already passed the measure. Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff and Jewish leaders participated in a discussion at the White House which condemned a growing tide of anti-Semitic rhetoric by influential figures, some of whom have been associated with former President Donald Trump.
I will not remain silent, and I'm proud to be Jewish. I'm proud to live openly as a Jew, and I'm not afraid. We cannot live in fear.
Finally, in a now-deleted tweet, Arizona Republican Representative Paul Gosar agreed with Trump's call for the Constitution to be terminated over his unsubstantiated claims of election fraud. Gosar's tweet read in part, "Unprecedented fraud requires unprecedented cure." I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our HRS indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I love starting a program like that. That's Pete Rodriguez, Soya Rey. I love it. Pete Rodriguez from I Like It Like That. You remember that? For those of you who are old enough. Okay, let's get right into the program. Folks, let me tell you something. We have so much to be thankful for. So much. At last, voters, white and black and Latino, are beginning to catch on that there is a very strong possibility that the right, meaning the forces of darkness, I call it, not all of them. I have many friends of mine who don't believe that we should have socialism in this country and don't believe that we should be paying for our children's education or that we should be taking care of our elders and all of that stuff. But there are forces who want to take over your thought process, and they will do everything in their power. Whenever a guy says he wants to take over the Constitution, here's a guy who said, I'm bigger than Jesus Christ. I'm being suffering more than Jesus Christ. I mean, it's scary. It is scary. We now have a situation where we have won is 51 votes. And I'm going to be talking to someone who's also a minister. Remember, Raphael Warnock is the pastor of Martin Luther King's former parish, Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. And I'm going to be talking to him about what this means, not only for New York, but for the United States of America. The number here to call is 209-2877, because we're going to be asking you to call in. And I hope you do, so that we get a sense of what you feel about this. 212-209-2877. The gentleman I'm going to speak to is Mr. Ray Rivera, Bishop Ray Rivera. He's the senior minister of the Latino Pastoral Action Center in the Bronx. I've known him, 50 years. I've known him a long time, maybe more. We grew up in the same church together. And he had an interesting take on what this means and how Warnock was able to translate his theology into a pragmatic political program. He has an interesting take on this, and I'd like to talk to him. Bishop Rivera, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Now, you were saying, what does this mean to you? And remember, you are Puerto Rican, brought up in East Harlem. What does this mean to you, the victory that the Democrats have been able to win in Atlanta?
Well, first, thank you for having me on, Felipe. It's an honor to be able to speak to you, to dialogue with you. And the first thing, I think that as a person of color, Puerto Rican, Latino, it is a victory over Trumpism. As you know, Walker was the handpicked candidate of Trump. He was an election denier. He identified pretty much with all of the Trump philosophy. And the fact that he was the last kind of Trump-sponsored candidate and he lost is, number one, a victory over Trump and what he represents. The second thing that I think is important is it's kind of a victory over what I call Trump evangelicals or white evangelicals, but they're not exclusively white because, unfortunately, we have a small amount of people of color that fit into that category, and they all supported the Trump candidate, Mr. Walker, and the fact that they lost also is a blow to that brand of evangelicalism, to that brand that has done such harm to distort the gospel, and since the traditional media focuses on only on that brand, it tends to represent what the gospel means, what the church means, and it's really a distorted image of
yes,
the message.
Yes,
Christ.
We were both raised in the Pentecostal tradition. I departed from it. I thought it was repressive. I now see the potential for it becoming a progressive move, and you're one of the few who has been like that. Sam Cruz, you, two great friends of mine. Now, what bothers me is how is it that Puerto Ricans, Latinos, Dominicans, Cubans can get into, well, Cubans I understand because they ran from Fidel threw them out in 59. But now you have people who say they believe in justice, they believe in compassion, they believe in loving, and they back this guy up who has done everything to thwart the desires, the aims, the aspirations of people of color in this country, and working class people as well. Let's not forget them. I don't understand. I never did. But anyway, let's get back to Reverend Warnock, Raphael Warnock. You said that in his speech that he had some spiritual overtones. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, before I even answer that, there's some data on the Latino community. First of all, there's approximately 400,000 registered Latino voters in Georgia.
Right on.
Of the 400,000 Latino voters in November, 147 voted in the November election. There's no data yet for the runoff, but over 60% of Latinos voted for Warnock in November. Like
right.
I said, we don't have data over about the runoff yet. This is given by Eli Valentini, one of our political scientists and researchers here in New York City. And most Latinos live in the metropolitan Atlantic area, and the overwhelming, well, not overwhelming, but at least 60% plus voted for Warnock. Unfortunately, what you're talking about is Latino evangelicals, and the reason they vote for Trump or for white evangelicals in type candidates, conservative Republican candidates or conservative Democrats, is because of what's identified as the cultural wars, which
yes.
primarily
anti-abortion, anti-gay, all of that
aspect, which is abortion and same-sex marriage. And
yeah.
our Latino evangelicals And even some black, African-American evangelicals are very conservative on those two issues. So the Trump evangelicals or the Trump cult focuses on those two issues.
Yes, they co-opt them. They co-opt
sway.
Them.
They're able to sway. No, not co-opted. Our people definitively believe in those two issues, and they're able to cultivate them, and they become single-minded voters, and they vote for the candidates that are anti-abortion and pro-traditional marriage.
Yeah, they vote against their own interests, as far as I'm concerned. Be that as it may, you said something about the Reverend Raphael Warnock. I'm wondering, here's a pastor. You're a pastor. He got politically involved, which is amazing because most pastors do not. You get politically involved, but you've never run for office. But you've also supported people who you thought had progressive ideas, even if they didn't particularly believe in your theological strain, which I admire. I think that this guy is going to be a star. I'm happy that Jamal Jeffries is there as well. I'm happy at some of the moves that are being made. I'm very happy about that. This guy's been losing across the board. Not only did he lose in Atlanta, he thought he was the kingmaker, but he also got convicted. His family business got convicted of tax evasion, of tax fraud. Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan district attorney, said that this marks the height of his young tenure. He got him. He said he was tired of the greed, the lies, the cheating. On and on it goes. The felonies, tax fraud, scheming to defraud, conspiracy and falsifying business records. It's not a death sentence for the Trump organization, says the Times, but it certainly is going to stain, mar, malign his bid for presidency. Unless you are completely cult-oriented and got so brainwashed that you believe this guy is okay no matter what. What is your feeling on that?
Well, I think it's such a abnormality for white evangelicals or evangelicals of color that were supposed to be the guardian of morality and family values. That was an integral part of their platform since the Moral Majority and Jerry Falwell in the 70s. For them to support this type of man, which is the epitome in some ways of immorality. He certainly doesn't reflect conservative Christian values or over 20 accusations on sexual assault, all of the criminal investigations that you said. It's been a contradiction from the beginning. So my assessment is that it's really about white power. It's about ascendancy about the white evangelical church that was pretty much excluded from power. Remember, this was pretty much a nation where they were on the fringe, and beginning with Jerry Falwell in the 70s, they've had a consistent ascendancy. So I think they support this man because it's about power. At least those that are the articulate leaders of the movement, it's not really about these issues. Let me say one thing about Warnock. Yes, I was, again, very proud to, I've always been proud, but I think he made the church proud in his victory speech. The first thing that he said was, God be the glory. In other words, without reservation, unapologetically, he represented himself as a man of the church, of the man of faith. He used the term the Imago Dei. The Imago Dei is the Latin word for the image of God. And he actually said in his victory speech on national TV, I believe that men and women are made in the Imago Dei, in the image of God. This gives you dignity. This gives you intrinsic worth, self-value. And then he said, I see you. I see you, farmer. I see you, African-American. I see you. And he presented a gospel, a clear contrast with the white evangelical gospel that's rooted in white nationalism, Christian nationalism, white supremacy. He presented a universal image of the church, saying that we're all made in the image of God, and because of that, all people, regardless of who they are, have dignity. Now, he did this on national TV. There's a lot of ministers in the Democratic Party, or some, but they're in the closet. They're afraid of articulating their faith. He gave a clear message that he was a minister, that he was a man of faith, that his philosophy was rooted in a biblical perspective of the imago Dei and the universality of the human race, and that was going to be his platform. I think for the first time in a long time, if the media doesn't pick up on this, it's because they don't want to, because now they have an alternative narrative to the white nationalist, racist gospel that has been perpetuated for the last
The last 100 years. Listen, when Puerto Rico was invaded by the United States over in Guanica, Puerto Rico, immediately after, they sent in missionaries from all of the denominations here in the United States. And those whites who were in charge of those denominations quadranted. They actually divvied up Puerto Rico. Methodists went one place, Episcopalians went another place, the Baptists went another place, to try to suppress the independence movement. And they did. They suppressed the independence movement. They wanted to make sure that Puerto Ricans began to apply the Protestant ethic to their lifestyles. Remember, always when we're discussing liberation, when we're discussing people's plights, there are two thoughts. One is, well, we've got to give more money to the poor. Or these people are lazy and they don't want to do anything. In that case, what they tried to do is say, if you agree with us and you work hard and you stay with your family, which are all good values, you will be admitted into the kingdom of heaven. It's unbelievable how they view the kingdom of heaven, because I believe the kingdom of heaven is right here. If you're not doing it here, you're certainly not going to do it up there. Let's take some calls. 209-2877. Michael, do we have some calls? 209-2877. Let's take a call. Hello, you're on the air, and you're speaking to Felipe Luciano and Bishop Ray Rivera, of the Senior Minister of Latino Pastoral Action. What is your name and where are you calling from? He's gone. Okay. The number here is 209-2877. I'd like to hear from you and see what you feel about it. Bishop, we've known each other a long time. You moved into the theological realm. I moved into the revolutionary realm. And I've never regretted. It's cost me a lot in terms of personal sacrifice. It's cost me a lot in terms of jobs. It's cost me a lot in terms of rumors and all kinds of bochinche about who I am. But I've stayed firm to what I believe in. And I do believe in the independence of Puerto Rico. And I do believe that Puerto Ricans have a lot more to play and a lot more to say in terms of what's happening here. There's a Latino thing moving on. Dominicans are moving very strong in this city. And they, too, are beginning to understand that they are people of color and that you can't run away from that. Again, let's get back to the victory of Reverend Warnock. I mean, I am so happy that he won. So happy that now we don't have to go to Manchin or Semina to get stuff passed. What do you think needs to be done in this city to augment that victory in Atlanta? What can we do?
Well, one of the lessons of the Reverend Warnock victory is that he won with a significant turnout of the majority of his base in the African-American community. But what is not said at times is there was a significant white population that voted for him, that's progressive. And then the Latino element, over 60% in the November race, of 147,000 people that voted for him. Now, you notice that in the dialogue, in the political dialogue, discourse, they always minimize our participation, the dominant media. In every race with President Biden, where he won in those key states, yes, there was a significant majority African-American community, but there were significant Latino communities. And in the Biden victory, over 70% of Latinos voted for him. But in the discourse, were never recognized, were the invisible people, the dominant media. Yes, it's getting better, but still, they'll say that Biden won because of the African-American community. Is that, and that's certainly true. But without that significant 70% that voted for Biden, or now that voted for Warnock in this runoff, and I think the data will show that in this election where he won, it was significant. Also, it's never mentioned, it's never recognized. A third of the population is Latino in New York City. It's almost like we don't exist. It's a black and white dialogue.
It's always been a black white dichotomy. I've said this a million and one times. I get so mad at that. It's like you don't recognize the swing vote. We are the swing vote in most of this country. And west of the Mississippi, Mexicans have an incredible political presence. And we have to begin to understand that unless we understand the Latino presence in this country and their contributions, we're going to end up still fighting. We'll end up fighting black against Latino. And that's going to be the death knell to us. So we've got to understand we are the swing vote. We should be proud of that. And we have to build our profile here in New York City. Our profile as Puerto Ricans has gone down horribly. I mean, if it wasn't for AOC and several other people who have been at it, we wouldn't even be considered. And you're right. Media does not pay enough attention. We've got Latino newscasters. But nobody, with the exception of Navarro, the Mexican woman who's on MSNBC, who always shouts and says what she has to say. I admire her so much, as I do AOC. But we've got to be a little more vocal, a lot more vocal, and a lot more powerful, and build organizations and build institutions, which you have done in the South Bronx.
One of the things in the dialogue, which is, again, negative, and it should be a message to the Democratic Party, is that Latinos are switching to be Republican. First of all, that's exaggerated. It's not happening in the numbers that they're saying. If you really look at the data, Eli Valentin, again, does a good job of analyzing that data. And one of the things that is clear that those that are going to the Republican Party are some, they're from the Cuban community that have always been historically Republican, and now Venezuelans, Nicaraguans, from Salvador, and they all come from situations where there's been socialist or communist revolutions, and anything that smacks of social change when they come into this country because of their experience in their own countries, they reject it. That's the population that's growing and that's becoming Republican, but the Puerto Rican community, the Mexican American community, even the progressive young Latino community from those groups are not becoming Republican. But if you hear the press and you hear the dominant media, there's an incredible momentum of people moving to the Republican Party, which is not accurate at the level that the media is perpetuating it.
You're absolutely right. Let's take some more calls. The number here to call is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. We're talking about Warnock's victory as the first black senator from the state of Georgia. He won. Now the Senate has 51 votes, which means that we can pass judicial appointments faster, we can get legislation passed faster. A lot of good has come out of this, and I predict that it will end up with the Democrats winning the presidency again. But we have to organize. And the Democrats have to remember that they sometimes forget that we are, don't patronize me. Don't assume I'm going to vote for you. And we're finding that out with the same people you were mentioning, the Cubans, the Venezuelans, and others who have come here from El Salvador. They're saying, oh, no, they ignore us anyway. In Southwest Texas, we're having that problem. not enough Democratic operatives. They should have been a freedom train down there organizing Mexicans and saying you got to vote Democratic. We still don't have it here in New York. We have a Puerto Rican Day parade of 2 million people and not one voting booth, not one voter registration booth. No, we don't want to get political. Why? Because your sponsors are going to get mad? Come on. We need that. And we should be able to explain to the sponsors of that organization, whether you like it or not, we need to get organized. We need to organize and vote. Let's take some calls. 209-2877. Hello, you're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from? Hello? Are they there, Michael?
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, it's Rose from Flemington, New Jersey.
Hello, Rose.
And excellent, as always. I just want to say this much. Back in the 80s, I used to work the movie lines at 86th Street. I used to do registration of voters.
86 and what? 86 and 3rd?
Yeah, yeah. Some of us would go up there with all those, you know, those ballots, and
that's
what America needs to do. I live out here in the boondocks, which is where I grew up in Jersey, but I want to make a very important point, and that is that when we can get our Latinos and our blacks supporting the changes in the laws for our indigenous peoples, they have it real bad.
Yes, they do.
Oh, man. This idea that they don't have an address, that the mailbox is over there, it's all wrong. We have to work with our indigenous people, because if anybody who's getting screwed, glued, and doweled, as we used to say in the furniture industry, they're getting it hard, too, and we need to go to help them achieve all the wonderful things you guys have done.
I agree 100%. And, you know, when I speak to students, whether they be college students or elementary school students, I say, I know that our litany is that we have been oppressed, we've been slaves, we've been exploited. But you want to know who really has been exploited, who has been killed, where genocidal practices have taken place? Native Americans. They really don't get a break. The Dakotas, in the Dakotas, North Dakota, South Dakota, the Sioux Indians, the Crows, the Blackfeet, the Cheyenne, man, they've been hurt. And those reservations are bastions of poverty. And by the way, bastions of suicide. A lot of those kids kill themselves at four times the national average. They see no hope. They see no vision. So rather than us talking about how much we're oppressed, and we are, we have to have compassion toward those who are really going through it. And I don't see any sense in claiming nationality if you're not going to help those who are much more disenfranchised than you are. Rose, thank you very much for calling. God bless you. Take care of yourself. Let's take another call. 209-2877. 209-2877. Hello, you're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from? I can't hear you. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Jay.
What's up, Jay?
Everything is well, man. Like, you know, like, I just got to see, you got to see the history in you know, how it's run its course. Like, all the things that are happening in America today, like the climate, it's all history and nature, because these people don't believe in anything. Like, it's ridiculous to say that one is a Democrat or a Republican, and Republicans are completely exclusive. Listen, they don't want anybody that's not like them to be a part of them. Mm. They demonstrated that again. Here in New York and in Jersey, I mean, these people are terrible. Look at Hochul. All those, you know, after she got elected, all those changes that she's holding up, we can't afford to do these studies. And when you see John Stewart, for example, with Condoleezza Rice and Hillary Clinton, I mean, these people are despicable.
Why do you say that, Pop?
Why do I say that? Look at Libya. Libya had the most advanced standard of living. Muammar Gaddafi gave $1 billion to the Nation of Islam. They want to help our people here. You know,
and they killed them. And they worked against it. I don't understand. This guy actually helped the United States intelligence by giving them information on Al Qaeda.
Flag. United States, they right now, they have this whole campaign about Ukraine. Like, Syria has been occupied for 11 years. They control the oil fields. certain people in your society you can't criticize, or they'll label you, they'll stigmatize you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they cripple the people, and then for all that, they can't stop you. It just depends on how you think. You know, it's your thinking. If you got a better mind, then you can do more excellent and noble things.
That's why critical thinking is so important. That's why education is so important. And it doesn't necessarily mean degrees. It means that you read and you keep yourself aware of what your rights are as a citizen of this country and as a citizen of the world, because we are world citizens. Papa, thank you very much. You take care of yourself. God bless you. Happy holidays. Do we have any other callers, Michael? Let's take another caller. Hey, you're on the air. It's Felipe Luciano. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Rob. I'm from South Bronx.
What's up, Rob?
I'm my first time ever calling you any radio show, and I was listening as I was driving, and I said, you know, I'm going to jump in this.
Wonderful.
I love the show, and I loved what the guy on both the last two callers said about the issue of Native Americans, and
yes,
also this kind of like blind spot that I feel like the Democrats have when it comes to foreign policy. And I'm really heavily involved with this Woman Life Freedom movement in Iran, because my wife is Iranian. And,
right on.
I've been thinking a lot about this for years, that there's really a lack of kind of broader thinking about allyship and coalition building amongst the, you know, those that have been involved in civil rights in the U.S. and what is basically civil rights in other countries. I mean, the
yes,
Iranian movement is really an Iranian civil rights movement. For basic,
that's right.
You know, and, you know, you just don't really hear anything about this. Like, we haven't seen anybody that I can tell, except for very, very few people, come out to any of our protests from, like, Black Lives Matter movement or some of the other movements for indigenous peoples here in New York. And I'm not, and I don't blame them. I feel like there's just this kind of, like, these weird silos between the different movements that all actually share the same basic goal.
I agree with you 100%. I'm waiting, and I think it'll happen. I'm waiting for, and by the way, we have a proponent of that kind of thinking in Bishop Ray Rivera, who we're going to come to in just a minute. I'm waiting for the church. I'm waiting for all black organizations, all Latino organizations, to have an opinion about world affairs. We operate in silos. We act as if it doesn't matter. And we found out how much it matters when the chain was broken with the Ukraine situation, and we weren't getting milk. We weren't getting Similac. There's so much stuff that was happening. We're in this together. China,
right.
you can say what you want about China, and I was there for a month in 1972 when Mao Zedong was still alive. And I'm telling you, these are world powers, and you can't just ignore them. You have to say, what is that about? Who are they? And let's see what we can do. And if we have problems with them, for example, the Chinese are killing and imprisoning the Uyghurs, which is a Muslim group. We've got to say something about that. I'm a Puerto Rican living in East Harlem, but I care about those things. Sometimes I don't sleep just thinking about this stuff. So I agree with you 100%. Bishop, what is your feeling about, in light of the Warnock victory, what is your feeling about the Democratic Party and what we can do to push them to begin to understand who we are?
Well, like I said, I want to reiterate, I think two of the lessons from the Warnock victory is, one, that exactly what your caller said, multiracial coalitions work. He was able to put together a coalition of white progressives, of white moderates, of island Pacificers, that's a growing population in Georgia also, Latinos, and his very strong base in the African-American community. He also was able to bring the church out there, souls to the polls, all kind of church organizations were organizing, because he presented an alternative narrative of what the message of the church is, what the message of Christianity is, in its essence, that it, It's rooted not in white supremacy. It's rooted not in Christian nationalism, like white evangelicals have perpetuated, or at least what I call Trump evangelicals, because not all evangelicals subscribe to that. He talked about the imago Dei, the universality of humanity, that all are made in the image of God. He didn't do it. He didn't hide. He did it in his victory speech. He actually said, the second thing he said was, to God be the glory. So he gave us an alternative narrative of what the message, I'm talking to Christians now, of the church should be. And that's what we should embrace.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think what we have to do is also read the history of Germany. Because the German church, the Protestant church, went totally hook, line, and sinker for Hitler. They figured he's a nationalist. He's talking about, let's make Germany great again. This is like deja vu all over again. And we need to understand that it was that which drove Bonhoeffer to the United States. Well, the great German theologians who went to Union, by the way. He went to the Abyssinian Baptist Church. Frederick Bonhoeffer said, wait a minute, this guy is hurting people. And in the beginning, he was saying, well, we have to love him. We have to love him into understanding what compassion is. It didn't work. When he came back, he joined the underground. And he said, this guy's got to be taken out. So, folks, remember, the shades of the past. If you don't read the history, if you don't read your history, you're bound to repeat it. Let's take a musical break. Go ahead.
One of the things that you said, Felipe, about the church and being at times oppressive is very true. So the church and religion in general can be an instrument of oppression, but it can also be an instrument of liberation.
So you're absolutely example, right.
So, for example, while we have all of these examples of oppression, if you take the church in New York City, and I'm talking about from an interfaith or interdenominational perspective, if you take out all the group homes that are sponsored by the church, if you take out all of the social work agencies that are sponsored by the church, if you take out all the housing that's been built by the church, all the residential programs for addiction that are faith-based, you would have a social service crisis. So I think the secular media and people that all, you know, they talk about the oppression of the church, but they don't talk about all the people that Mao killed, or all the people that Stalin killed. So we have to be very careful of those people that are continuously bashing institutional religion. Their movements are not totally clean. Also, it's all
Here's the only problem I have with that. I agree with you 100%. But many of the churches, because they're receiving federal dollars, are reluctant to criticize our government when they feel the government is wrong. We do not, and they know it, but they're loath to get involved in secular politics because they're getting federal grants. We have to be very careful with that. Getting the money is your money. It's your tax dollars. You don't owe them anything. You don't owe them your allegiance. Of course, you owe them, you're an American citizen. But if you find that a policy is wrong, speak up on it. Let's take a musical break and we'll be right back. This is the Flamingos. This is dedicated to you, all of you. I only have eyes for you, baby.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. I only have eyes for
Reverend Ray Rivera, I remember that from the sixth grade, PS-170. I used to love that song. It was in East Harlem, and I heard it, and I said, my God, I've never heard it. And I used to love slow dancing to that, too. We're talking about the wonderful victory the Democrats have achieved in Atlanta, because now we have 51 in the Senate as opposed to 50. And we don't have to go through Samina, who's from Arizona. We don't have to go through Manchin, who's from West Virginia, who's wealthy, rich, and is a coal mining town and doesn't understand that every time he passes a piece of coal legislation, he's killing his own people. Final statement, Bishop.
Yes, well, again, thank you for having me on. And I think lessons from the Warnock victory, I want to reiterate them again. One is the importance of the Latino vote. As I said, in the November election, 147 people voted, 147,000 voted in November, well over 60% voted for Warnock. It was an essential part of the coalition that brought him to victory in Nevada, in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in
right.
Texas. Latino vote is significant. It's always seen as an addendum. We're not given our due credit in the political discourse. And number two, an important lesson for me, Reverend Warnock led with his faith in his victory speech. He talked about the Imago Dei, that all men and women are made in the image of God. That was a blow to Christian nationalism. That was a blow to white supremacy. And he also said, to God be the glory. He wore his faith on his sleeve. He wasn't apologetic about it. We need more church people standing up for justice, leading with their faith, so there can be an alternative narrative from Trump evangelicals that are rooted in white supremacy and white nationalism, that have allowed those elements to permeate what they are. Also, the Republican Party have strayed from their traditional philosophies of small government and have allowed this Trump cult to take over their party. White evangelicals have let it permeate their faith-based foundation. And I think the Warnock victory strikes a blow to those two elements.
Right on. I think that what we have to remember is that, and I say this all the time, yes, I believe in the Cuban Revolution. Yes, I believe in all revolutions that are for the people. Yes, they go astray sometimes. But I believe that you can be a socialist and a Christian. I see no contradiction. In fact, I believe that Christ was a socialist. So let's remember that because you are go to church and you have faith in God, and I said this to a group that I spoke to 2 days ago. I said to the youth, yes, believe in all of the progressive legislation you want to, but believe in God. That's my I'm not pushing that on anybody, but I'm telling you it has helped me, and I make that very clear. God bless you, Bishop Ray. Let's take a musical break, and we'll be right back, and I'll say goodbye. Luciano on What's Going On, WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial. Let's take a few more callers. Hey, you're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, how are you doing? Good morning. I'm Frank.
from Staten Island.
What's up, Frank?
Yeah, just change it a little bit. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor Day.
Yes.
I'm wondering, since you're Puerto Rican, would you know about, like, what was the Puerto Rican response to Pearl Harbor, to wanting to enlist in the Army if they wanted to join the fight if they believed in it?
Oh, man, let me tell you something. Puerto Ricans have always been the first to join. In fact, there were many who were saying you shouldn't join the U.S. Army because it's oppressive. It's oppressive of our people. Hundreds of thousands joined. And even if they didn't want to, they were forced to join by the Jones Act in 1917 when we were made U.S. citizens in order to provide more troops for the Allied forces in France. No, Puerto Ricans, in fact, some of the most decorated soldiers in Vietnam in World War II have been Puerto Ricans. No, we are solidly behind the United States when it comes to fighting wars. So thank you for bringing that up. But just check it out. Puerto Rican contributions to the war effort have always been there. Now, are we conservative as a people? Yes, we are. We need to get a lot more progressive, and we need to understand and read what the issues are, because sometimes just going along, I don't believe in that. I believe in speaking out. Thank you very much for calling. Let's take another caller. 209-2877, 209-2877. Hello, you're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from? Hello. Next caller. Are you there, caller? We got him. All right. We got to move on, man.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Tell me what's up. What are you feeling?
What I wanted to call about, because I spoke to your program director. I think it was your program director. When she has the meeting for the public.
Yes.
I told her, I said, I'm a longtime listener of WBAI, but BAI needs to step into the 21st century and come to Facebook. Because she agreed with me, because you have so much to offer. I've told all my friends about you, but they need to see you.
Well, you know something? I'm going to start doing posts. I have a friend, Gabriel, who tells me I got to put myself on Facebook more, and I will do that, I promise you.
Yes.
Because I have a lot of things to say.
Yes. Last night we had I put on an open line.
Yes.
From BAI, BLS.
Yeah.
Every week I put them on, and my friends have become familiar with them, and they love it. They love to hear that.
I had a friend who died a few years ago. His name was M'Toume. He used to be on there all the time.
Yes.
I loved him very much. Great guy. Great mind, too. Great musician. Thank you very much for calling. I will back up that decision to Linda Perry, who's fantastic. She's doing a great job as program director.
That's who I spoke to.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She is fantastic. She helps me all the time. I will be talking to you guys next week. This Saturday, we're going to be doing the Latin Roots Show from 2 to 4. And guess who we're going to have on? One of the great trombonists of the Latin music field and the jazz field. His name is Papo Vasquez. So tune in from 2 to 4 this Saturday. Until then, we've got the split. You take care of yourselves, folks. We'll see you Saturday. Keep the faith. That's the most important thing. If Bishop said anything that makes sense to you, keep the faith. Continue to believe in what you believe in. Stand up for your family. Stand up for yourselves. And think critically. Until this Saturday from 2 to 4, right here on WBAI and Latin Roots, Felipe Luciano. Peace out.
Well, my friend, the time has come to raise the roof and have some fun. Throw away the work to be done. Let the music play on. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We gonna party, caramba, fiesta, forever. Come on and sing along. All night long, all night.
WBAI New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Felipe Luciano, I'm telling you, if you haven't checked out Latin Roots on Saturdays, 2 to 4, you're missing something. The man is quite brilliant with his musical selections and knowledge of the genre. So check that out here on WBAI. Coming up at 8 o'clock will be Democracy Now!, Equal Rights and Justice at 9 a.m. Please do stay tuned.
The Vision Zero Initiative reminds you that speeding ruins lives. Drivers, always look for pedestrians and cyclists and slow your turns to 5 miles per hour.
Hi, New York. It's Dr. Vossen, the city's doctor. The holidays are my favorite time of year for gathering with our friends and loved ones. So with COVID-19, the flu, and RSV spreading, here are 5 health tips for me to you so you can enjoy the holidays safely. 1. Get the new COVID-19 booster. Everyone over 5, and especially those over 65, or who have a chronic health condition, should get the new booster right away. It protects against the variants of COVID-19 making people sick today. 2. Get your annual flu shot. You can safely get your flu and COVID-19 shots at the same time. 3. Wear a mask in crowds. Masks slow the spread of airborne illness. It's not an all-the-time thing, but for when you're around a lot of people indoors. 4. Stay home if you're sick and get tested for COVID-19. Talk to your provider or call 212-COVID-19 for Paxlovid or other treatment options. And 5, and as always, keep those hands clean. Spread cheer, not COVID or the flu, New York.